program is brought to you by New African Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speak, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic, Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Ilahi Day. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradiomaradspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talk that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Allah a worker. The Quran, Surah 55, Ayah 29. Allah worker daily. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayah 39. You work in your place, I work in my place. Say, oh, my people, do whatever you can, I will do my part. But soon will you know, your nature teaches you regularity. And God in his Quran, in verses of scripture, points to the nature within and the nature without. In the outer world, to show us how the world is regular. The sun rises in the morning, it sets at night. The season comes spring, summer, fall, and winter. Things follow in a defined pattern, and they come regularly. Who is more faithful than the sun? Or it rises every morning and it sets every night. The cloud may come up and blot out the light. But we might think that maybe the sun didn't come up all the way up this morning. But one day we see the clouds push back before our eyes, and the sun is in its place on time, didn't lose any time. It is in its place. So clock eternal is most important. So maybe you know, I don't have to get up this morning. There is no clock to punch. Yes, there is. There is a clock to punch in your house more important than any clock you can punch out there in the streets. That's your babies, your son, your daughters. They are looking at you. They say, oh, I get up before him. I'm going to school. I'm on my job studying, and he's in the bed asleep. No, from now on, let us not let that happen. You don't have a job to do, and you accept that in your life. I'm unemployed. I don't have a job to go to. If you accept that from that moment on, you started deteriorating, and you are going to deteriorate and deteriorate by degrees, and pretty soon you are going to find that you are useless. You don't have to have a job to go to. Self-job, million acres, cultivate. The Quran, Surah 28, Ayah 77. Seek the hereafter, don't forget, share in world. Life is a job. First and the most important job is life. You have your life to live and protect. You have your life to cultivate. You have your wife to help, your children to cultivate, your children to bring up. You have a job. Say, well, I'm a bachelor, brother. You have a job. If you are one man, you've got about 1 million acres of human land to cultivate your body. Your one body is equal to 1 million acres of the best land on earth, 100 acres of land, 1 million acres of land of the best land of this earth is not as valuable as your body. So don't think that you are poor. You are rich. A bachelor with no job, no wife, no girlfriend, no brother, no sister, no mother, no father, alone in the world. Pardon me. No friend, that bachelor, he's rich. If he just wakes up to the fact that he has a wealth within himself, cultivate it, watch over it, develop it, come to the masjid on Sunday. Feed your mind, feed your heart, feed your spirit. Come to the khutbah, cultivate your life. So we have been given life and life. It will do its job. But will you do your job? Act, works, Allah in the Quran. He even describes himself as a worker. Say, I am a worker. I am working in my place. You can't get in my place. My place is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. In God, of the controller of everything. But you have your place, say. So you work in your place. Allah wants workers, wants knowledgeable people. Family, home, need, order, not clutter. The Quran, Surah 36, Ayah 38, sun, computed, regulated cost. Look at what you have in your house today. The average one of you go back and look into your home and see, don't you have too many clothes in your home, more than what you need? Go check your home out. You have something to give a poor neighbor. You have something to give to the poor brother and sister who are in Jamaica or who are in some other country. You have something to give away and is doing nothing but sitting there doing, going to waste. You have shoes that you haven't worn out, but they've given you, they've made them obsolete to sell you another pair of shoes. They're not in style anymore. They put them out if you give them some more money. Yes. So go check your home out, and you'll see that you have a lot in your home that is unnecessary. You have things in your home that you can't use, that you're not going to use. You have no intentions of using, but it's good enough for some other poor person to use. But that's your life. Half of you have nowhere to live in your home. Your home is so cluttered with stuff that you don't have a place to live in your home. Isn't that miserable that the human being has allowed his intelligence to be so destroyed? No sense of what is right or wrong. No sense of order in the world, dear people, rendering a service in the world. Dear people, you can't see what is nature, what is the order of the world. By looking at yourself or by looking at your friends, you may be out of the nature and out of the order of the world. Sun or its path. God has given us something that is in the center of our universe, in the center of our solar system. In the center of our planetary order, there's nothing around us that gets or demands as much attention from us than the sun. Trees, birds, creatures, none of them are big enough to compete with the sun for our attention. When the sun rises, it gets everybody's attention. When it sets, it gets everybody's attention. And look what it's doing. The sun is following a regulated course. The sun is following a defined order. The sun is not doing what it wants to do. The sun is not a discriminatory body that does as it pleases. No, the sun is following a law. So this is what Allah is telling us in the Quran. The sun is following a law. The sun has some sense of time, duty, and time to do it on. The sun is not late coming up. You're late coming up. Sun is following in a pattern, following a defined order, following a time sequence. And look what it's doing. It's not eating up the world. The sun is helping the world grow. The sun is growing the grass. The sun is growing the vegetation, the fruits that feed the animals. So the sun is growing the animals. The sun is growing us because we eat the animals. The sun is working us, waking us up, and the sun is letting us sleep. Say, oh, I work you up to work. You did a lot of work. You need to rest now. Sun goes down so you can rest. Ask the biggest and most observable piece of matter in our solar system. If you had nothing but that, if you didn't have a Quran to follow, if you had nothing but that God could judge you, you would be doomed to hell still. God will say, oh, how did you let the physical world fool you to think eating, drinking, and sleeping, sex, playing, and having foolishness was all for life? Couldn't you see an example in the biggest and the most physical thing that I've showed you? What keeps this thing going? What keeps life going? What keeps the production increasing is something that follows a law, something that follows an order, something that renders a service, something that is not eating everything up, but is giving something to the world. So what is wrong with you? Miserable creatures have allowed the wicked enemies of God to take over the world, take over your mind, and lead you against your own life, against your well-being, against your own dignity, made you disrespect yourself, made you abuse yourself, make you throw yourself into hell, when you know that you should hate the leadership of this world. You should hate the calling voices, this world that calls you away from devotion to Allah, that calls you away from righteousness, to make it your decision to be a warrior, to fight them with every bit of energy you can muster up. You should never be out of a job anymore because you have a job. You have to fight for your life against the crazy influences that are in this world that call itself Americanism, modernism, civilization, good times. Man, moon, water, less man means people no faith. The Quran, Surah 36, Ayah 39, moon dried of water. Well, what are we to understand from this as religious people? We are to understand that water, less mind, a mind with no faith, a mind with no faith in God as the supreme being, a mind that doesn't trust moral strength, and faith in something superior to it can't do very much but assist something greater. The moon is just a little assistant to the sun. We can live without the moon, but we certainly can't live without the sun. Yes, some people might say, well, we can't live without the moon because the moon controls the tide. If it didn't have the moon, the water wouldn't be controlled. Well, I don't know. And maybe something also in the solar system will be able to affect the tides and keep the tides in. The natural order, if the moon is knocked out of the sky, but we know that we depend on the sun for energy, for light, for life. The sun is greater in religious symbolism than in the moon. Desert. So when the earth is without water, forget about it. No life, no life, forget about it. Water without earth doesn't necessarily mean no life. But earth without water means no life. There is no life on the moon, no water. If you go to the desert where there is hardly any water, you will find hardly any life. And if you find any life at all, it's because there is some moisture in the atmosphere over the desert, or there is some underground water existing under the desert, or there is some moisture that some trees before the desert became desert, some organic life, before the desert became desert, was able to keep the main and maintain some water to keep the organic existing on the desert. Lotus plant. So the water is either in the plant or it is in the atmosphere or it's under the desert. So there is no water in the dry land. There is no life in the dry land, in the dry sand, because there is no water. But there is a plant that has that, has its symbolic place in religion. It is called the lotus plant. It have been fortunate enough in my life, not that I consider it any great blessing now. The lotus has no power. It has no symbolic meaning in symbolic religion. And I saw the locust plant growing in water. It wasn't in the earth. It was in water. There was no earth around it touching it. It was growing in plain water. And the plant had risen up to the surface of the water, and there it was floating on the surface of the water, not being rooted. And it had bloomed, and there was a nice flower, a pretty plant growing in the water, living in water without earth. Lotus in winter means get moral life. Can you find a plant living in earth without water? No, no, no. So what is this saying to you? That if you want to live, you have to get moral life in you. If you want to live, you have to get faith in God back in you. The Quran, Surah 36, Ayah 39, moon measured, mind of man, is like the moon starting in the dark. It is impossible for the human being's mind to capture the whole of God's creation. God does not have to argue with us. He does not argue with us. He lets us run out so we will start all over again. And that is what life is on this planet Earth, with the mind. It is just like the moon that seems to be gone forever for a day or so. And then it appears again as a thin crescent, a little thin line. And it grows until it becomes full. A complete cycle, and then it disappears for a day or so. And after growing into fullness, it disappears for a day or so and starts all over again from a little thin line. The philosophers, seers, and prophets saw that as a sign of the ability of man's brain or the ability of man's intelligence. It starts out in the dark. When it is in the dark, when you are yet in your mother, you have not been born yet. But as soon as you are born, after 9 months, in your mother, you become conscious if you are blessed to have life. You become conscious in this big blessed to have life. So you become conscious in this big world created by God. So when you become conscious, your brain starts to work in immediately. And the brain will grow and grow over a year. You'll become more and more intelligent, and you will fix your mind on something, and you will perceive what life is, and you will live that life and will run out. You are still living physically, but your mind has run out. You cannot do anything anymore. With the reality, you are stuck. And you may run into the Honorable Elijah Muhammad back there in that time, and he may say things that shakes your mind up and jolts it with powerful energy. And you may start thinking all over again, and you end up thinking into another world. You thought yourself into another world. And you think and you think and you think. And something happened, some tragedy or something, not a tragedy, a good experience, but something has shaken that conviction you had, and you will start all over again. just like the moon, it keeps trying for perfection. And every time the moon gets perfection, it has to give it up and start all over again. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we get more than 1 month to life. If we think we can have it and do not, we just start all over again. That is life. So in the final analysis, what is a human being? A human being is life, certainly life, belonging to all other life that God created. All life is sensitive. All life is connected. We connected not only to flesh life, we're connected also to plant life. All life is connected. I remember the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, "And you are what you eat." So if I'm what I eat, I am cabbage, string beans, and chicken, and all of that stuff. And that is true. God made the human being to be a consumer of all the food. Some animals, they just want one food. Some eat grain or vegetables like we do. But we are the most, the biggest of all consumers. We consume more than all other living things. What I want to say with this line of reasoning is that we limit ourselves and we abort our brain before they reach maturity. The Quran, Surah 36, Ayat 47, why feed poor is Allah will he could have. And when they are told, spend ye of the bounty with which Allah has provided you, you unbelievers say to those who believe, shall we then see those whom, if Allah had so willed, he would have fed himself? You are in nothing but manifest error. John 1:46. Can good come out of Nazareth? And Nathanael said unto him, can there be any good thing coming out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. So isn't that the same mentality? It was proper for us to be pushed down and shut out. The same mentality. So don't think that modern racism in America is a modern problem. It is an ancient problem. And it is a great feature dealing with this problem and all of the great religions that we are associated with. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. All of these religions have that particular problem as a major feature. So Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him himself, is a conclusion for that particular dilemma or for that particular conflict in the thinking of the so-called learned society. This argument about, okay, God made these people like that. We didn't like that. If they don't bring themselves up, if they don't carry themselves forward, it's not our obligation to give them what we got and to make them equal in our society. God made them like that. So that's the way it's supposed to be. They don't have a better future than what they have. God created them that way. Okay, the other argument is that, no, whatever is in one human being is in every human being at birth. The same hope for intelligence, the same hope for morality, good morals, same hope for industry, the same hope for any human being is capable of doing it in every human being at birth from mama. Trump is blown, the body will tell of our deeds. The Quran, Surah 36, Ayah 51, on that day, the trumpets will be blown. You are not in this body. You are expressing yourself. And you are not in this physical. You are not that. You are what is being expressed in that. So you are what is using this instrument. So this is your instrument. Your body is your instrument. You are what is using that instrument. So God created you spiritually, and he gave you the body as your instrument and as your servant. The body is made to be your servant and your instrument. That is what it is to you. But you can't really express yourself without your body as a musician can express his without his instrument. You can't express yourself without your instrument. That's your human body. And it says, and on that day, the trumpets will blow. What is the trumpets? Your whole body is the trumpet. That will be blowing. It will be your human body that will be blowing. And it will be sending off a warning. It will be your soul, your breath of life, sending warning through your trumpet, your human body to the world. Quran says, and on that day, the trumpets will be blowing. And they will rise at once, all at once, a single blast of the trumpet. And they will be standing up. So man's spiritual association. So I hope I'm giving you some understanding on your true origin, self, and how that is where you must return. After we have gone from the physical world that God created us to live in, express ourselves in our flesh and blood body, we engage the material world with our intelligence, with our intellect, our rational tools, and we form material structures, huts, houses, mansions, pathways, roadways, highways, expressways, go from the donkey to automobiles, ships and airplanes and rockets. So the Quran, Surah 37, Ayah 10, still a heavenly fire. So we are told that a certain one in Greek mythology stole a heavenly fire. We still have fire as a symbol of learning in the institutions of education, college and universities. They are familiar with the symbol of fire. I believe even now they use the magic lamp or lantern with the fire coming up as a symbol of higher learning, higher knowledge. So this fire that we are talking about is higher knowledge on the subject of life, human life. Human life has always made man curious and has mystified the ignorant people. So man's struggle has been for understanding. He has struggled to understand his life. Man wants to understand his life. And the struggle was made for concept of God as a creator and as the infinite being who is not creation and is not limited or contained in creation, but who has reached that extent everywhere. He can reach us here. He can reach us in our souls, and he can reach us beyond the sun, the moon, the stars, because his reach, as scriptures tells us, extend beyond everything. The Quran, Surah 37, Ayah 10, who's still a hearing pursued by fire. So he is going to come at you in your weakness, from the left and from the right and from the front and from the rear. He is going to come at you attacking you in your own personal weaknesses, not in the revelation. God closed revelation against him. God sealed him out of that. Just close him out of that. He can't come in the revelation anymore, but now he comes into your life to fish into the weakness flesh and find the weakness in your life. And then he comes and exploits those weaknesses for the world he wants to make. He exploits your weakness to create the world or to contribute to the world he wants to make. That's the Satan always competing with God and God's prophet and God's messengers competing to take them on the course he would prefer him to be on, to prove that man is not worthy of being responsible for the great role that God put him in or created him for. That is a big disappointment for Satan. He can't accept that. So he is out to prove that man can't carry that responsibility. So since he can't, as the Bible says, he would ascend up into the highest height and present himself on the throne as God in God's stead. He will put himself up there as God in the place of God. Satan will do that. So this is an address where God says, before you used to steal a hearing, but no more. You come up here to steal a hearing, now you will find shooting bolts of fire ready to take you down. That's Al-Islam. That's the Quran. The Quran filled him out, put him out of the heaven. He was rejected before, put out of the heaven. The Quran came again, sealed him so he could not get into the heaven. So he could not really get into the heaven, but not represent himself as people, as a being in the heaven, representing the heaven. Satan presented as God in most religions. A lot of people don't know. The God that they have in their religion is not God. He is Satan. They don't know it. Satan has slipped in there, and he got right in there. And they think that they are looking at God. They are not looking at God. They don't see the real Satan. They see him as an angel representing God. He's powerful. But with the Quran, brother, he is weak. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and fight the schemes of Satan. Satan, for his schemes, are weak. Not before, only after Quran. His schemes are weak because the Quran manifested him, revealed him so plainly. And the Bible says that he will be undressed and he will be trying to cover his head and his feet will show because the clothes that he would have left with be too short to cover him up altogether. It says that, and when he tries to cover his head, his feet will show. If he tries to cover his feet, his head will show. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That has happened. The Quran, Surah 37, Ayah 10, whoever tries to steal a hearing is pursued, except such as snatcheth away something by a stealer, and they are pursued by a flaming fire of piercing brightness. So in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said there were those who used to listen to get a hearing into the heaven. And with the coming of the Quran, circumstances for them had changed, and it was very difficult for them to listen into the heaven. If they did it, they would be bombarded with fire, shooting at them. So when the truth comes and remove falsehood, which happened with the revelation of the Quran, if they pry into that truth to get its heavenly light, to use it, the truth is so plain and so clear that the torture, wouldn't be worth the effort. He would have rather that he didn't steal it because he ran into so much burden that burned him up so badly that he regretted that he went into it. The Quran, if you go into it and you are not right, it will certainly tear you up. It will break you down. It will burn you up, and you will wish that you had not gone into it. But if you are right, and it is such a relief to know this world is not confusing, not the world that God made, and it is so beautiful and wonderful as he made it. The way we see reality has been formed for us by people who give us their communication and said it was from God. They did it so cleverly. They fixed it so that they could interpret it themselves to justify it and support the way of God if they interpreted it themselves. But they are the only ones who can interpret it because they are the ones who formed it and looked and locked it up against the coming mind and coming person, common mind and common person. So if the common person reads it, it is very, very dangerous. And it will take the person away from the right perception of God, creation, and include God himself. It's even the incorrectly communicating the purpose of God. I say persons as an entity or soul. God refers to himself as Neph, and Neph means psyche or soul translated. The Quran, Surah 37, Ayah 10, whoever seeks to steal a hearing is pursued, is pleaded. Isaiah 14:29, rejoice not Palestine. Isaiah 14:13-14, Lucifer sought seed in heaven. For Mephistopheles stole a heavenly fire. Greek religion forced Adam to have a great republic. From psychoanalysts, clinical psychology, and all of this has all developed in time. And where did they get it? From God. Did this happen for the first time in Western civilization? No. The Greeks said that Prometheus, a rebel amongst the elite, stole fire from the heavens. And this world wants us to think that the Greeks were philosophers. They were not religious. They didn't believe in God. That's a lie. They had strong, great religion. And they focused on Adam and his original pattern. And that's how they were able to form a great republic and guide their descendants from Europe to science and philosophy and all of the other great benefits they had. But they lost that. They went to sleep and lost all of that. And it was the Quran and Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, that reawakened their mind and showed them how they were even to perceive or understand their ancient knowledge, and it caused them to have a revival, and that is what we are seeing right now. In their world now, they are having a great revival that would not have been possible for them if it was not for the coming of the Quran and the life of Muhammad. Peace and the blessings be upon him. As the leader of mankind, the Mephistopheles stole the heavenly fire. That means he disagreed with those who were agreeing to keep it in accord with the best nature that God made. And he used it as a tool, an instrument for taking over the life of human beings. He wanted to become their master and God. Isn't that what the scripture said? The Bible said that would happen to the world. So this is not true for us. I'm going in the Bible. So the Bible says, rejoice not, O Palestine, for out of the serpent root shall come a flying cockatrice. And later it says that the old serpent become a flying serpent. And it also says that Lucifer, that he fell from heaven to inspire. Now he inspired to rise up on the air. I bring the things that are connected. I bring them to you right away. It says he will rise upon the air. What is the air? Isn't there air, his airplanes? No, although he did that too. He didn't do it, but his scientists in the West, under his influence, his spells, they were able to be scientific and got an airplane up there, and they are flying. In fact, they are moving about in space that has no air. In airless space, they just shoot straight to the airless space and land on the moon. It says he will rise upon the air, become a prince of the air, not this air, your spirit, human spirit. He will rise upon the human spirit after he remakes your spirit. Reform your spirit, he knows how to rise the spirit that he made. He will rise upon that spirit and ascend above your head, and he will work on you from afar, controlling you from a station in your soul. But he is not through. The Bible says his aim is to go up high enough so he will reach the throne in the very seat of God and sit on it, performing as though he's God. That is what has happened. He has taken over the abstract life. That is the most precious. Our most precious life is not our flesh, bones, and all of this physical stuff. Our most precious life is our conscience and how our intelligence develops inside of it. That is the most precious life. And if he can take over our psyche, our intelligence, activity, and our soul, and manage without our knowing that he has infiltrated or he has invaded our own life and has taken over our control. He has us thinking that we are controlling our life and controlling the original hand of the original man. So this is reality we have to deal with. This is the reality we have to face. So when we read in the Quran, let us get the light and help that God has revealed for dealing with this thing and defeating it in our life and our families and our community. So we have the light, the power to defeat it in our life, in our family life, and in our community life. We have it. It is as plain as day. We can defeat it. The Quran, Surah 37, Ayat 11, created creation bigger than mind of man. So if you use your good common sense, science tells us that there is no matter evolved higher than intelligent human life. Maybe out of there somewhere, but they haven't found it yet, or it hasn't found us yet. So if you use your own good common sense now, if the highest form of creation is a human being, then where would God be more than anywhere else in the human being? He is in the human being more than he is anywhere else. So remember that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for his special work. And never think that our creation or our existence is bigger than the universe. It is not. It is very small in comparison to the universe. Isn't the hand very small in comparison to the body? Isn't the head brought to life with the body and taken to death with the body? The head can't save the body from death, and the head can't bring life. The whole body comes by God's will. That is what we should never think of any great thing that we achieve or any great power we exercise as ours. It is God. The body belonged to God. He created this. It is his body. He created this himself. It is solely his property. Nobody else has a pattern on it. So when your head comes out and becomes conscious that you are in control of the body, remember that you have permission to be in control of this body. You've been assigned a responsibility over this body, but really, this body is a bigger creation than your mind. Believe me. And if you don't respect it, it will take over. You respect it, and you respect the will of God for that body. It will leave it with you. But if you ignore the will of God for the body will take over, and you will not be ahead on the body anymore. Angels keep universal order and blow and bow to God's will in man. So body created to fulfill man's aspiration. A drunken or a dope addict who is ruling head or the body. The body is ruling because the head didn't do the right thing. The body took over saying, let me help you get where you deserve. I'm a philosophical thinker, pardon me. You get what you deserve. If I told you what I'm thinking about right now, it might be too much for you. The body is always greater than the mind. You think you're greater than the body. No. The body is always greater than the mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the body to fulfill all your aspirations. Whatever you want to realize, it is already provided for you in the capacity of your human body. You will never realize the full capacity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in your human body. So your body is always greater than it, than you, but it is made your servant. Isn't that wonderful that God gave me something superior to my own ability, but he put it at my service? Didn't God tell the angels to bow to Adam? The Quran, Surah 2, Ayah 34. We are told that the angels uphold the heavenly order. They keep the order of the universe. The Quran, Surah 67, Ayah 17, told the angels to bow to Adam. Why? To bow to a person? No. Bow to God's will. Bow to God's purpose. Bow to God's plan. My plan is in Adam. Bow to my plan. Bow to him. But Adam by himself, the angels would not bow to him. Maybe they would throw him in the toilet. But because he was created for God's will and purpose and fulfilled God's plan, Adam is elevated a little above the angels. He didn't assign that responsibility to the angels. That is just like we African Americans. The white man had us ever since he brought our parents from Africa. He has us in his control and in his world, right? So really, we are beneath him. But if God's purpose is to rise us up to his equal or above him, there is nothing he can do about it. But without God, we can't rise up. We'll never rise up to his equal or above him without God's help. God rises you up above your body. So this is the way it is for your body. Your body is superior to you, but God raises you up above your body. But without God, you are always below your body. That is why the angels did not want to submit to a mortal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wait until I have inspired him or given to him of my own self, ruhi, of my own spirit. And another place it says of himself, then you make sajda to him. So the Quran, Surah 15, Ayah 28 to 31. So what is God saying? The reality of man you are looking at now, you angels, does not justify you making sajda to it. So I'm not going to impose it upon you now. But there is going to come a time when man is going to accept my will and receive something of my own self or my own spirit. Then you make sajda, your sajda to him. Then you bow to him in full submission. Why would an angel make sajda? Sajda is for human beings, isn't it? So when we make sajda, we put head, knees, and toes on the ground, showing that we return to a crawling state of the little baby, the toddler, or the infant. We go back down or on the ground like the animal who was brought up from off of his paws. So we go back down on our hands and knees to return to the state that we were in before I could stand up. Why would God tell an angel to do that? I leave that for you to think about. Sleep is symbolic of secret knowledge. Pardon me. Sleep is symbolic of secret knowledge. The Quran, Surah 38, Ayah 21 to 30. David judge argument over sheep. 2 Samuel 12:3-9. David judge argument over sheep. 2 Samuel 11:2-5. Bathsheba, David sought her. So the fruit of Islam fought for foreign rulers. Let me tell you what is going on right now in the mind of the leading thinkers in Saudi Arabia, in Egypt, Pakistan, wherever they are, is a learned elite. Here is what is going on in their minds now. And before I am giving you this, after they saw the Nation of Islam, their minds is Mr. Farad had a trick and a strategy to attract the black-minded people to him, to believe in him and accept him. He worked on them and put them in the situation to be strongly interested in the Quran and wanted to be connected to the Islamic world. They are right up to that point. He put a hint there for us that he planted the garden. It is for us to reap a harvest, the fruit. So let us go get our Nation of Islam. So let us go out and get our lost and found Nation of Islam. Let us go and get our property. You know, it is not true, but Mr. Farad said other things too. Make even later ones think maybe that was a possibility. He talked about coming alone. He said, my name is W.D. Farad. I come to the wilderness of North America by myself, alone. So he is speaking independently as a thought that he did it all by himself. And in another place, he says 24 scientists met in Mecca in the root of civilization concerning, that is, to discuss our situation, lost found Nation of Islam in the wilderness of North America, that they must return to their own. So they said that these people are lost from their religion now, 24 scientists, and we must get them back into Islam. So he gives a picture also like he was just one amongst others, at least 23, he was the 24th. One, and he was just one amongst peers, not a god over them, because he did not decide, the story said, and they decided to send one of them to our rescue, and that was Mr. Farad, to send him over here for us. So see how the men with so many different pictures and so many different decoys to take you off the track, and it is for them. So when they read that, it's telling them that is not a god. He is not presenting himself as any god here. He is telling them that really leaders in Islam in Mecca, Arabia, met and decided to sleep, to sit, pardon me, and decided to send help to them. It is telling us, brothers, we are supposed to reap our reward. He planned this for us. He planned to give them unto our hands as our fruit. So this is our fruit, brothers. In the Islamic teaching, there is a word that is translated sheep. It's not an ordinary word for sheep. It is the word for sheep that you are eating off the plate. Like we say, we are eating lamb. We don't say we are eating sheep. But aren't they the same? So we say we are eating beef. We do not say we are eating cow, but aren't they the same? So they have always another word for sheep, and in the Quran, it makes this sheep lawful to the believers. So the Muslims, the sheep is lawful for you to eat to get it. So this is secret knowledge or shrouded knowledge. It is dressing up. Person will never know what it's talking about. 2 Samuel 11:14-18, David had general kill from lion. She played on Bathsheba. So it says that they are entitled, yes, permitting them. And people that is being spoken to are those who God is really not pleased with. And he is cautioning them that you are taking too much and you're asking for too much. And words to say, These are my words, but nevertheless, giving you the right understanding and picture, particular problem that we are looking at right now. God permits them the sheep. They are not called sheep. They are called by another name. I don't know if they know, but God has blessed me to know that this same sheep has reference to previous scripture. Prophet David in the Bible was questioned and condemned for having plenty of sheep. Then he went out after another sheep, Bathsheba. He had plenty of sheep. Now he goes out and deceives Bathsheba's man. So this is one of David's generals. And David sees her in the shower from his palace. And he falls in desire for her. I won't say love. Now he wants her so bad, he sends the general out that she was liking to the front line of the war to get him killed, and did get him killed. Now, you know the Quran does not have these kinds of ugly things associated with prophets or charged to prophets, but this is the Bible. So when the general is dead, he takes Bathsheba. She becomes his woman, and is God rebuking him? Bathsheba is called a sheep. He gives the parable of a man having plenty of sheep and his friend having but one. And he goes out and plots the murder of his friend to get his friend's sheep. So this is the Bible. So this permission to have your sheep is a correction and a completion on that problem the Quran addresses previous problems. So you are entitled to your sheep, but your sheep, not somebody else's sheep. God is saying you're entitled, but to your sheep, not to some sheep that is not yours. But they will say any sheep in our name, name of Muslim, is our sheep. Was not David general, and was not Bathsheba his general's woman? So she was then in his same society, wasn't she? So Bathsheba from outside David's people. At that time, she was in his society. But how did she get in his society? She was from outside his society, and now she had become the wife of the general and his society. So this is how she came into the society, right? You following me? So for him to don't care if we are in Islam, where did we come from? We came from outside of Islam and was brought into Islam. We came from outside of their name and language and religion, and we were brought inside by one of theirs in the event General Mr. W.D. Farad. And here they are, David, back home wanting to take us from Mr. Farad. And they are happy to see me kill Mr. Farad as God amongst us. They are happy to see me kill Mr. Farad, but they are going to reap the spoils of the war, and they are going to get the fruit of the labor. Well, we have news for them. There is no sheep. There never was any sheep. We were donkeys, and we have seen an angel with a flaming sword, and we are not donkeys anymore. We are speaking back with a man's voice. We are telling Baal to get off our back. So just don't be aware that you brothers who don't know what I know cannot protect this community. You can't guide this community. You must take a stick and whip your own behind until you get yourself to obey the leadership and guidance that God has blessed us with. Deviant minds can't distinguish between harm and good. So Quran Surah 38, Ayah 56 to 57, excellent examples, hot and cold. The Quran Surah 101, Ayah 1 to 3, what is the noise? The Quran Surah 27, Ayah 4, made their evil deeds fair-seeming. So we are creating to know that the difference between harm and help, we realize. So this thing's hurting me or harming me. So this thing is helping me. All of us common sense to know that. but the intellect or the rational can pursue something to the extent that its own nature, the nature of the mind, changes, and it no longer can distinguish between harm and help. Muslim world leaders have become misguided, fixated. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m., inshallah. It only means if it please God. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We thank New Africa Excellent Marats for allowing us to come before you once again. We thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. Before we go off the air this evening, we want to ask everybody to pray for the Ukrainian people. If you can do more, do more. But if you can do anything, if you can't do anything but pray, remember prayer works and it helps. Thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And thank you for listening.